Alrighty, we're about ready to start. Hello everybody, welcome to How To Preek here. I am your host, Mikey Sciotta. And just a little bit about me, there's my social media handles. I host a podcast called Anime Baby with my friend Ryan. Currently we are on hiatus since last year, but one day we'll come back. But basically it's just a podcast where me and my buddy, we talk about a different anime each and every month. But that's not what we're going to talk about here. What we're going to talk about here is Preek here, or Pretty Cure. And basically, the whole point of this panel is that I'm going to show a bunch of different seasons of Pretty Cure throughout the years. I won't be able to get through everything, but I wanted to showcase each season, talk about like why I think each season's good, you know, and also just talk about little things, you know, what each season does well. And, you know, in the hopes of like possibly getting you into Pretty Cure, or if you're already into Pretty Cure, then it would just be a way to like, you know, relive some fond memories. And just a little bit of backstory on me is that I got into the series back in 2020 during lockdown. It was when Crunchyroll first got Heligo 3 here that I started finally watching the series after many, many years of saying, one day I'll get into this, one day I'll get into this, because, you know, for the longest time I've been a big fan of magical girl shows like Sailor Moon, Cardcaptor Sakura, or Magical Do-Re-Mi. And I looked at Pretty Cure and I thought, hey, this feels like something that I would really, really get into. So hopefully, you know, it's the same way. Like, hopefully I can share some of my love with you, and then, you know, you can experience some of that love. So without further ado, let's get right into it with the season that recently just wrapped up. So kicking us off here is Hirogaru Sky Pretty Cure, or Soaring Sky Pretty Cure, which aired from February 5th, 2023 to just recently finished on January 28th of this year, directed by Koji Ogawa, with the themes of heroes and endless skies. This series is meant to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Pretty Cure, which started back in 2004, so basically they spent all of last year celebrating and building up to the actual anniversary, which was this past February. And I really enjoyed the season. I think this is a good season to like just kind of, if you want to just jump into Pretty Cure, jump right into this one. I know it's an anniversary season, but it, like most seasons, they stand on their own. One of the things I like about this season is the fact that the character designer, Atsushi Saito, was the character designer for Love Live Superstar, and Love Live, that's one of my favorite animes of all time, so just like the marriage between Love Live and Pretty Cure, I think is pretty great going with the series. And this is also a season that means a lot to me personally, because I watched this as it was airing with a friend of mine. Shout out to my friend Ruby, or at Passion Tentacle on Twitter. Give her a follow, she's awesome. I watched it with her and it felt really great, because, you know, it's thanks to her tweeting about Pretty Cure that what got me interested in the first place. So it kind of felt like it all came full circle here. But one of the things I liked about this season is the fact that, you know, to celebrate the 20th anniversary, they kind of shook things up a bit, you know, with the formula, kind of changed things up. You know, sometimes they had episodes where they don't fight a monster, or they had some episodes where, like, they just, they go on, like, some kinds of different adventures with it. They subvert your expectations, so to say. Like, case in point, you know, for this season, the lead cure is Cure Sky, a blue cure, which, for the most part, in every season, it's usually a girl who wears pink, or a girl who wears, like, like white or anything like that. They were down with blue. And also the fact that this is a season that kind of gave us some plenty of firsts for the series too, which I will talk about in a bit. But I want to show a clip from early on in the season, which I feel really helped like get the season over for me. Like, I was already hooked on it from episode one, but this moment that I'm going to show you right here really, really stuck with me throughout the entirety of Hito Got a Sky. Like, I really enjoyed that moment. Like, the point of that episode is that Sora, Kira Sky, she spends the episode worried about her friend Mashiro, Kira Prism, about, you know, bringing her into this world of being a pretty Kira, you know, like, it's too dangerous. You're fighting these giant monsters that turns these random objects every single week. I don't want to see you get hurt because I can't forgive myself. And Sora and Mashiro telling her, like, hey, I know it's dangerous. I know it's scary, but we need to face this together because we're a team. And I really enjoyed that. And, like, it also kind of harkens back to, you know, how Pretty Gear started, because it started with a duo, so to celebrate the 20th anniversary, to kind of get back to that feeling of, like, you know, two partners coming together to, like, fight for the greater good is just, it's really, really nice, and as the series goes on, like, you will grow to love the relationship between Sora and Mashiro. Like, they are freaking cute together, and I love them. But they're not the only characters in this, as the series gave us a couple of firsts. Is they gave us our first full-time boy Pretty Cure in Cure Wing, Tsubasa, and our first full-time adult Pretty Cure, Ageha, Cure Butterfly.
Thank you.
So yeah, I love these two. They're great. I love that Tsubasa is just the best kind of boy. He just always wants to do right. He wants to become the best knight possible. And Akiha is just a lot of fun. Like her, we see her day job as she works as a kindergarten teacher, and she wants to be like the best kind of kindergarten teacher, the one that's friends with all the kids that she takes care of. Like, they're a lot of fun, and I love what they represent to, you know, Tsubasa representing the fact that Pretty Cure, despite being a series mainly targeted at young girls, it does have a very large fan of boys who do watch the series, so, you know, just like shouting them out a little bit, and also Akiha representing all the fans that grew up with the series, the adult fans who were probably there since 2004 that are watching the series till this day, or even if you got in later, like, if you're an adult and you love Pretty Cure, a character like Akiha is definitely for you. So, that's Hiro Gato Sky Pretty Cure. Oh, that's up.
Is he a magical girl?
Magical boy.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, Hiro Gato Sky Pretty Cure is really good. It's on Crunchyroll right now. It's one of the latest seasons. I highly recommend it, but, you know, since the season is focused more on, like, you know, the skies and whatnot, flying through the sky, let's go farther beyond that. Let's fully go where no Pretty Cure has ever gone before. So this is Star Twinkle Pretty Cure, airing from February 3rd, 2019 to January 26th, 2020, directed by Hiroaki Miyamoto, with the themes of space, astrology, and imagination. Now, this is a series that basically follows our group of Pretty Cures right here as they take adventures going across the galaxy through like different planets, meeting all kinds of different like leap gloss that they follow all through across space. And one thing I like about this is the fact that since this is a very sci-fi inspired season, they go for that very retro aesthetic, you know, kind of similar to that of like Star Trek, the original series. Like, in fact, there's an episode later on in the series, I won't spoil it too much, but basically the episode is just a Pretty Cure version of the classic Star Trek episode, Trouble with Tribbles. So if you know that episode, then you can probably figure out what they have to deal with in that one, but it's clear that they took a lot of inspiration from classic Star Trek, even right down to the two of her first Kirs, the pink Kir, Kir Star, Hikaru, and the green Kir, Lala, Kir Milky. Like, they pretty much do have that kind of Kirk and Spock dynamic a little bit. But I think a really good thing about this series is the fact that, you know, since it's a series dealing with like a lot of, you know, meeting a lot of different aliens across the world, you know, different people that, you know, like, you don't know about, who don't look like you or whatnot, you know, they have strong messages of communication and understanding, you know, just like trying to understand these different cultures they meet all throughout the galaxy right here. And also, sometimes dealing with communication amongst each other in this first clip right here. And it's a very common thing with like a lot of pretty cure seasons, whereas in the earlier episodes, once we start meeting each of the cures, they usually almost always do an episode where it's like the first two cures, like, you know, get into a bit of an argument, a bit of a tiff, you know, it's like, can they get along, can they coexist, and it's par for the course. But I feel with Star Twinkle, it fits really well because it goes back to that, the overarching messages of communication and understanding, you know, like, how can we learn to, like, you know, understand others if we can't understand ourselves first? So I really do enjoy that. And, you know, we saw her very serious in that clip, but Hikaru, like, she's not always serious. More often than not, she is possibly the biggest gremlin in all of Pretty Cure, as based on this clip here. Yeah, Hikaru, she can't stand still. Like, she is very, very hyper, and, like, you know, and one of the ways she shows it is through her catchphrase, where she goes, Kiriyama, or as it's translated here as Twinkool. So she's a lot of fun. She is just an absolute joy. And as you saw in that clip, and as you can see on the poster right here, this is also the first and only season that has introduced a dark skin here in Elena Amamiya, Kirsoe. We find out in the series that her mother is Japanese, but her father is from Mexico, so that makes her Latina. And they actually do episodes acknowledging that fact later on in the season, you know, where she has to deal with the fact that, you know, growing up as, you know, half Japanese, half Mexican girl, she has to realize, like, not a lot of the other kids look like me, and why is my family different from other families? And it speaks to me personally because, you know, my father is white, but my mother is from the Philippines, so, like, I dealt with that exactly when I was growing up as a kid. So, like, seeing Elena do that, like, go through all that and talk about that, like, it really spoke to me. And another thing that's great about the series is that the series also has some episodes dealing with characters dealing with discrimination, and, you know, like, how some people just, like, hate other people just based on how they look, and they do it in such a way that the young viewers of this series can totally understand it. Like, it's a very simple plot where it's like, you meet one alien, they look slightly different from like other aliens and stuff, and the kids can look at that and go, hey, that's not right. Like, why are they insulting her? Why are they making fun of her for how she looks? And it's great. They can go like, yes, you get it. You get it, and you understand why discrimination is wrong. And it's very nice that a series like Pretty Cure can do something like that and like instill all these messages into young kids. So I have to give it a thumbs up for that. But so yeah, that is Star Twinkle. And moving on from that one, let's, one more clip. One more thing that I really like about this series that makes it very unique is the transformations, and you'll see why. They sing. Thank you. Like, the first time I saw that, I was just all like, oh my god, they're singing, and they sing really well, and again, it goes back to the whole, like, the themes of communication and stuff, because, you know, people say music is the universal language, like, everyone gets that, so I like that little detail, so it's my favorite transformation in the entirety of Pretty Cure. I think it's great. So, moving on from that one, let's go to a season, let's go a bit further back in time to another season here. So this is Heart Catch Pretty Cure, airing from February 7th, 2010 to January 30th, 2011, directed by Tatsuya Nagamine, with themes of fashion and flower language. And the one thing that you can already notice immediately is the art style, like, completely different from the past two seasons we've been talking about, and definitely the most unique-looking season out of all of Pretty Cure, and that's mainly due to the character designer, Yoshihiko Umekoshi, who is known for Ojamajo Doremi, Magical Doremi, which you can already tell from that art style, but also stuff like My Hero Academia, and the thing that really surprised me, OG Berserk. Like, if you know Berserk, then yeah, that character designer went to adapted Miura's work, went on to work on some Magical Girl anime, so, like, think about that for some tone whiplash there. But this season, definitely one of the most successful seasons in all of Pretty Cure in terms of viewership and merch. Like, this season got super, super popular, like, even, like, reaching people who aren't even Pretty Cure fans, like, people who could say they only seen one season of Pretty Cure, they mostly go to Heart Catch, and, you know, for good reason, too. Like, this season has excellent writing, great characters, and, you know, the storytelling, it really appealed to, like, outside that demographic. And one thing that's also been talked about this season is the fact that it's commonly referred to as the dark season of Pretty Cure, which not really, kind of yes and no in some cases. Like, it's no more dark than, like, any other seasons that do get pretty serious, but there are aspects, and one of the aspects I want to show here is one of the baddies for this season.
キュアムーンライトのようにな。 私が本物だ。
キュアムーンライトに託された思いはいつでもこの胸にあります。だから私たちは負けるわけにはいかないのです。マリン、一緒に OK？
そういうことか。面白い。
So yeah, if there's anything that can really help Hardcatch earn its title of the Dark Season, it is definitely that character. The character you saw was Dark Prekir. And in a series where we have a group of villains, for the most part, they're allowed to be very fun and silly. But Dark Prekir, whenever she's on screen, is deathly serious. She is not allowed to be funny or silly or anything like that. Like, she is basically Prekir's answer to Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII, in more ways than one. You know, story stuff later on. But yeah, she definitely helps like have the series like earn its moniker as the Dark Season. And there's also even some storylines involving another Prekir, which you saw near the end of that clip there, Kira Moonlight, which also helps. But while we do have stuff like that, we also have stuff like this.
It's coming for you.
But, you know, at the end of the day, whether it's dark, whether it's silly, or what have you, like, Hard Catch Pretty Cure is a phenomenal season, and definitely one worth your time. You know, if you're a little iffy on, you know, wanting to watch, like, a kid's series or something like that, if you think it's, like, too childish for you, like, definitely get into Hard Catch. Like, I'm sure it would be your cup of tea. But moving on from that one, let's go to a season that I just actually recently finished. So this is Hokuto Precure, airing from February 4th, 2018 to January 27th, 2019, directed by the team of Jinichi Sato and Akafumi Zako, with the themes of future, jobs, and destiny. And this season was created to celebrate the 15th anniversary of Precure. And, you know, maybe this is just recency bias talking to me right now, but I would say this is phenomenal. This season is amazing. Easily, probably my new favorite season. In all of Pretty Cure. Like, it is so good, and, like, you know, the fact that one of the directors, Junichi Sato, was one of the original directors of Sailor Moon, so using that...
Princess Tutu.
Yeah, and Princess Tutu, both fantastic shows, so, like, kind of having that that legacy behind it, like, really, really helped. Like, it showed that Toei really wanted to put their best foot forward with their 15th anniversary season. And one of the great things about this season is the fact that, you know, it basically contains the universal message of all Magical Girl anime, you know, past, present, and future. The point of Magical Girls is to bring hope to people, you know, just like, things may seem bleak, things may seem hard, but at the end of the day, as long as you have someone just like, always rooting for you, always cheering you on, just giving you that little extra push, you know, things will get better, they will get better, and the fact that Hokuto as a series, like, really pushes that message, and one of the ways they do that is, with a lot of Magical Girl anime, one of the things that you will commonly see is the baddies, the villains, they do get redeemed, you know, they spend most of the series doing, like, deplorable things, but at the end of the day, the Magical Girls are able to basically kill them with kindness, and at the end of the day, they redeem themselves, and more often than not, it's kind of hit or miss, but with this season, with Hokuto, it works really well. Because the way the villain group works, Kreyasu as they're called, they're basically presented as like an evil corporation, just hell-bent on just like making sure everyone just has no future, just like everything is just all dark and everything. And a lot of the baddies are just basically like adults who are kind of stuck in dead-end jobs, who feel like they have no future, they have nowhere else to go, they have no hope. And it's thanks to the Hokuto heroes, they are able to find hope. And this clip right here, like, this really gets it over.
Yeah.
抱きしめるから。
Looks at this villain, Cheerilee, and she's like, you know, you are not just a faceless monster that we fight every single week. You are a person. You have feelings. You have hopes and dreams. And, you know, you're going through a rough time right now. And instead of just ending your life here with this big, dumb, pretty gear sword, I want to help you. I want to heal you. And it's just, it's so sweet. And they do this multiple times over with the villains, and it hits every single time. Like, this is probably one of the most beautiful seasons of Pretty Cure, and the fact that I finished it this past Thursday, watching it for the first time, and by the end of that last episode, I was just an absolute mess. I was bawling like crazy. I had to stop like 2-3 times because I was just openly weeping. Like the kind of, like if you ever see a character in One Piece cry, that was me watching the series. Like full on just sobbing, just like going like that was me. It's because it works so well. It's so amazing. Like, I love Hakuto Pretty Cure so much. I can't say enough good things about it. And another thing that the series has, above all else, is one character. The cutest little thing in the entire world. Come on. Wait for me. Hakutan, she is super, super adorable. You will love her. Like, she is the cutest little thing in the world. Like, I love her to death. She is amazing. And also, I won't spoil it, but there are some big reveals about her, and one reveal in particular was one of the things that really, really made me cry in that last episode. Like, the moment I saw it, I'm just all like, I was done. I was all done. Like, that was the moment that made me realize, yeah, Hakuto is probably one of the best seasons I've ever seen. So this one, definitely worth your while, and while it is an anniversary season, you know, like, I would say feel free to jump right straight into this, but I would also say maybe watch some other seasons to kind of get you ready for it, because this is a series that also pays tribute and homage to past seasons, so, like, if you have that little knowledge in the back of your head, a lot of those references and stuff will really, really hit you, especially three episodes in particular that definitely celebrate the history of Pretty Cure. And before I go on any further, seasons like Hakuto and also Heartcatch and Star Twinkle, they're not necessarily streaming anywhere like Crunchyroll, but if you look deep enough online, you know, maybe go to a certain perfectly legal DVD shop, you know, one run by a cat that goes meow, you can find it there, you know, just, just keep it a little secret. It's a secret between us, you know, you don't have to, like, just talk about it and stuff, but... But, you know, I've gone through a lot of these seasons, you know, you're probably thinking if you want to get into Pretty Cure, you know, where do you start? Should I start in the middle? Should I start with the recent stuff? You know, sometimes it's best to just go to where it all began. Thank you. this is two for the price of one here. Futariwa Pedicure and Futariwa Pedicure Max Heart. Two seasons, started from February 1st, 2004, and ending on January 29th, 2006. Directed by Daisuke Nishio, who worked on the original Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. He did about 200 episodes of Z and six different films across all of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. And it really, really shows. Like, this is the seasons. These seasons are where it began, following the adventures of Nagisa, Cure Black, and Honoka, Cure White, and Hikari, Shining Luminous. She's there too, but only in season two. But it follows them, and it's a season that really gets over, you know, the power of the duos. You know, like, one of the inspirations for the season was, you know, buddy cop films, like, in particular, they cited Rush Hour as, like, an inspiration for these two. And also the fact that, you know, it was a bit of a trailblazer in source, because, you know, a lot of magical girl anime, you know, like Sailor Moon, like Cardcaptor Sakura, like Ojamajo Doremi, you know, more often than not, they don't really emphasize the fights, the combats. Like, more often than not, the fights are just basically stock footage of, like, the same attacks over and over again, and most of the time they're just kind of running away from the monsters. Whereas here, they really chose to emphasize the hand-to-hand combat. Like, the reason for this is the fact that they saw stuff like Kamen Rider and Ultraman and went, like, you know what? I want to do that, but I want to do it for a show that appeals to young girls, because they don't have anything like that, and they were looking for a new property for Toei. And another thing about this is the fact that, you know, this is a bit disputable, but I've been told on a number of times that the series was only meant to last 26 episodes, and it does show, like, if you watch those first 26 episodes, it does feel like an ending, but then it just keeps going, because it is super popular. Like, it got up to, like, 96 episodes, and it's pretty unique for Pedicure, because most of the seasons, outside of one other group, it's only just, like, 1 year, and then it's done. But, you know, they looked at Futariwa and went, oh wow, we really caught lightning in a bottle right here. Let's keep this going. Let's keep this going right now. And I was talking about the combat earlier, so let's look at this clip to give you a little idea, give you a little taste of what these fights are like. And this is one of my favorites in season one. Better than most stuff that's been airing nowadays. But yeah, like, that's just one example of, like, how they really get over the combat and, like, just focus on the hand-to-hand aspect with this series. And they definitely go hard, but they also know when to pull their punches, so to say, where, like, they make sure not to have any close fist punches to the face or anything to the gut. Otherwise, anything, it's fair game. But one of the biggest things about this season, outside of the animation, outside of the combat, is the two main characters, Nagisa and Honoka, the duo that you will love forever, the OG duo that all other Pedicure duos take after. Like, if you ever see a duo in a Precure season, note that it was these two that kind of, like, set the standard. And just, here's, it's a quick clip, but this scene alone, I feel just kind of gets over their relationship. Two, and like, you will understand why they are the most shipped characters in all of Precure and possibly all of anime. In fact, fun fact, for one of the merchandise for the series that came out during, I believe it was the 15th anniversary or one of the anniversaries, is there's this figure of Nagisa and Honoka together, and they're both in wedding dresses. So it's like they're acknowledging the fact that, okay, the fans see them as girlfriends and wives, so we're gonna lean into that for, you know, the hardcore fans. So, like, it's fantastic, you know, like, if you're a little turned off by it, it's like, oh, it's the earliest thing, or there might be a little, like, you know, some growing pains. Like, no, there aren't any growing pains with Futariwa. Like, they nail it instantly. And another thing is, if you're familiar with Futariwa and, you know, how it looks on some clips online, or how it looks on Crunchyroll, you probably looked at all the clips I've shown of it and went, hey, that's a little too good looking, too clean. Where did you get this from? Well, it is streaming on Crunchyroll, but the version they're using is pretty bad. It makes it look like an anime from the 90s when it's an anime from 2004. But just last year, they did release a Blu-ray of the series for the first time. And the perfectly legal DVD shop has it in stock. So if you wanna watch Futariwa in the best quality possible, go to them. They don't have Max Heart yet, so if you want to watch Max Heart, it does look kind of like garbage, but they said they're working on getting that in stock. You know, they just gotta find some subtitles, shall we say, but definitely check those out if you really want to get into Precure. Like, it doesn't hurt to just start from where it all began. Like, you will not regret it. But as we're getting close to the end here, you know, I've been talking about, you know, starting from the middle of the season, starting from a recent season, starting from the very beginning. Just this past February, we had a season that just premiered, and, you know, if you really want to get into it, what better way is to just watch the thing that's airing right now? Wonderful Precure that just started airing this past February on February 4th, 2024, directed by Masanori Sato, with the theme of the bonds between humans and animals, specifically humans and the pets they own. And one thing that is very unique about this season, you know, Hidogata Sky, they had some firsts, but this season, continuing on with the first, is the first time we ever had animals that are pretty cures. Like, the main cure, Cure Wonderful, Komugi, she is a dog, and she is the pet of her friend, Iroha, Cure Friendy. And basically, the whole series thus far, there's only been like, I want to say 9 episodes thus far. It basically follows Komugi and Iroha just finding these animals that have been turned into these monsters and just basically trying to heal them and comfort them. And this season, it's basically meant to be more of an easygoing season. You know, we had Hidogata Sky last season. That was the big, heavy, story-focused season. So the folks at Toei were basically like, okay, we're gonna take it easy this year, you know, just do something a bit more lighthearted and fun, nothing that you need to take too seriously, which, you know, I like, you know, not every season of Pretty Cure has to be, you know, 5-star classic, Bobby Dazzler or whatnot. You know, sometimes it's nice to just have a very easygoing season, you know, something that you can just flip on every Saturday or Sunday to just watch and just feel like, that was nice, I'm looking forward to more each and every week. And it's definitely a season for, like, you know, pet owners, like if you have a dog or if you have a cat, like you can definitely relate to some of these characters. And I mean, it's cute. Like, I know a lot of people complain about this one online for being too kiddy or whatnot. I mean, you're complaining about a kid show being kiddy, like think about that for a second. But it's fine, it's sweet. And I will admit, and I will say, it does have its fair share of moments, like in particular the very first episode showing Komugi jumping into battle. Like, this, I knew the season was going to be like, okay, this would be pretty easy peasy, but this scene right here kind of sold me on the season. So yeah, that's a, like, just just seeing Kamugi, just like being super, super scared, like knowing that this is dangerous, but willing to jump in to like protect Iroha, you know, having her Deku from My Hero Academia moment right there, her body just moves on her own, like, I think that's really, really sweet. Like, I'm pretty, like, this season, like, it's not gonna be like very, very serious or like have any like deep storytelling, and I'm alright with that. Like, sometimes a cute thing can just be a cute thing. So, that pretty much brings us to the end of the panel right here. Perfect timing. So, you know, like, if you looked at a lot of those seasons and think like, hey, maybe this is something that I want to watch, you know, definitely go out online, go to Crunchyroll, go to the Perfectly Legal DVD shop run by the cat who goes in the eye, and just, you know, and maybe if those seasons don't interest you, like, there's plenty of other pretty cure to go around. Like, there's basically the whole point of this, there's no wrong way to start. Like, the only thing you have to do is just start. But one thing before we go, like with every single Pretty Cure season from Fresh Pretty Cure onwards, we can only end it one way, and it's gotta be like this. Always gotta end off with a song. But thank you again. I've been Mikey Shiota. Here's my social medias right there. Feel free to follow me. And if you're interested in more Pre-Cure, I'll be back tomorrow, 11:30, for Pre-Cure Go to Movies, where I'll be talking about a bunch of different Pre-Cure movies. So if you like what you see here and you want to see, like, hey, what does this look like on the big screen, check out my panel tomorrow, 11:30. And also, if you're also interested in Pre-Cure, wonderful Pre-Cure airing a new episode in about a couple hours. It's all about Kamugi going to school, so I'm assuming it's going to be like that. It'll be like that old Disney cartoon, Teacher's Pet. So I fully expect it to be like that. But once again, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.